Welcome to meeting number one of a five-day online intensive with John Sherman, broadcast live from Ojai, California on June 24th, 2013.
Hello, everybody. This is John. It's good to be here. Good to have some time with you. Today, what I mostly want to do is talk about the structure of these of this online intensive, and the way that I intend to handle it throughout the week, the things we're going to be talking about, and so forth. The purpose of these meetings, these intensives, when we have an intensive like this, the purpose of these meetings is to give us all a chance together to consider the current understanding of our work. The reason that the current understanding of our work is an issue is because it's always changing. This is not a doctrine. It's not something that's carved in stone. It is an adventure and an investigation into the nature of being alive, conscious, and human, and into the way of ridding ourselves of a burden that we've been carrying for a very long time that has kept us from a full engagement with the wonder of being alive as a human being. That understanding is always changing. The core of it, of course, the essential insight and the essential act doesn't change, but our understanding of the ways in which to speak about it, of the ways in which to convey it to people who have never heard of it, of the ways in which to understand it so that we're satisfied with our understanding of what we're doing in our lives. That changes. That's always developing. That's alive. It's not stuck. And it's that changing understanding that we hold these week-long intensives to give us a chance to consider together. In keeping with that, we assume that all present in these meetings have done the looking and have been following the conversation about it in the forums, the podcasts, the books, and are not still trying to decide whether or not to pay any attention to what we're offering. We're assuming that people who are present in the intensive are what I said. They're not people who are just arriving here fresh, trying to find out what's going on here. This is a conversation that's been going on for a very long time, and in order to take part in it, you have to have some basic understanding of what we're about, and you have to have some basic experience with the actual effect of the act of looking in order to follow what we're going to be talking about here this week and in order to contribute usefully to the development of the work. Now, if you are among the undecided and here, you are, of course, welcome to stay, but it might be best for you mostly to listen, at least until you feel you have found your bearings in this area that we're working in. There's much material freely available to help you understand what we're about here. We have Wednesday open house meetings, the monthly worldwide online meetings, the forums, an abundance of free videos, audios, podcasts, ebooks, the forums, and much more to help you understand our work and help you decide if it's something you want to be a part of. So if you're undecided, please stay, but mostly listen and avail yourself of the material that's available to you to get a starting understanding of what's going on here. If you're really confused and don't know how to get started even in looking at those things that are available, you can always email me directly at John Sherman at justonelook.org, and we will work together one-on-one for as long as it takes to satisfy you that you do understand what we're doing here enough to decide for yourself whether to take that first look and go on from there. Now, there really are only three subjects in the entire consideration of the work we're doing here. And it will be those three subjects that we will be working with this week. Although there are only three subjects, our understanding of these three subjects is always developing, and meetings like this serve both to communicate the current state of understanding to all who are interested and to increase its breadth and depth through conversation. The meetings are set to be an hour and a half, but that doesn't mean we're bound to continue for that long if our conversations finish naturally before that. Think of the hour and a half as a maximum time. I would ask that you try, please, to come to all meetings. I mean, if you can't, you can't. If something comes up or it's just you just can't make it, then you just can't make it. But try to come to all the meetings. Try to get here on time, because there's not, we're not going to spend a lot of time in the beginning of this, talking about what needs to be done and so forth and so on. Just the practical things that Carla has to say, and then we'll be speaking to the meat of the meeting. The meat of the meeting. Come on time, again, because we're going to start on time. And if at all possible, stick to the point of the meeting itself. And don't wander into other areas and so forth, because we really want to stay focused. As the effects of the fear begin to dissipate, we are much less tentative about what's happening here. And we are much clearer about the fact that these three topics are the topics in which the understanding will grow and will make useful. So when whatever the topic of the meeting is, and I'm going to tell you what the topics of the meeting are going to be, whatever the topic of the meeting is, let's try to stick to that point for the balance of the meeting. Come to the meetings, come on time, and stick to the point. The meeting today probably won't need to last very long at all, since what we're going to be talking about here, well, actually, we can talk about pretty much anything here today. Today and Friday are pretty much going to be open to whatever you want to talk about. Tuesday, tomorrow, the topic of the meeting will be the fear of life. And we will consider together all that we know and all of the ramifications and so forth that are part of an understanding of the fear of life, its arrival in our lives, its effect in our lives, its the possibility of eradicating it, and so forth. The topic tomorrow will be the fear of life, the entire range of stuff that we can talk about the fear of life. On Wednesday, we will talk about the act of looking itself in as much detail and as comprehensively as we possibly can manage. We're going to talk about what the act of looking consists in, what it takes to make it happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we have come to see to be the reason that the looking has the effect it does of freeing us from the fear and allowing the mind to heal. On Thursday, we're going to talk about the recovery and beyond. What I mean by the recovery is the period which is now pretty much universally acknowledged to contain considerable confusion and sometimes distress, sometimes Sometimes it can be quite intense, the distress and the confusion. Sometimes not so intense. We found that as time goes on and as people begin to meet together, begin to talk to one another together in the forums and the grassroots room and all of that stuff, that conversation together actually is the best medicine for the distress and confusion of the recovery, second only to starting to learn and develop skill in using the power we have to attend to what needs attending to and decline to attend to what doesn't need attending to. As we find ourselves for the first time fully and completely immersed and engaged in our lives. And beyond is the beyond of bringing this to the world. The importance of bringing it to the world, the fact that the effect of the looking, the effect of the eradication of the fear of life in an individual mind is incomplete until it's eradicated throughout the entire species. And we'll talk about why it is and how it is that we are trying to get this out into the world, this simple thing, this simple act. And on Friday, we're just going to do a little more of what we're probably going to do for the rest of our meeting today, which is just talk about what comes to our mind and consider what we've learned in the previous days of the intensive. So, I'm here, you're here, Carl's here, and if there's anything that you have that you would like to talk about this morning, you don't worry about what it is. If I may tell you, we'll deal with that some other time. But don't concern yourself with sticking to the point of anything today. Let's just talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we'll try to keep it down to this meeting this morning to an hour. Okay? So it's your turn. I'm waiting for you. You know what to do. You just have to raise your hand and we can talk together. So if you want to talk, now's the time. Stephen?
I've got rather a lot of questions, actually, but I just want to start with one that you brought up in a meeting very recently about talking about the difference between looking and spirituality. Okay. And it was very interesting, but I, throughout the whole thing, I kept wondering, well, what is your notion of spirituality? I mean, there's so many different takes on that. I mean, okay. It's almost a meaningless thing, but
I can answer that pretty clearly. What I mean about spirituality, about mm-hmm. spiritual teaching and spiritual aspiration, okay? I don't know what spirituality actually means. But about the spiritual teachings and the spiritual aspirations, what I'm talking about is metaphysics, is things that first of all assume that our only hope is outside of the ordinary existence as an ordinary human being. Our only hope is to either recognize ourselves to be an infinite mystical arising, or consider ourselves to be at the mercy of gods or goddesses or things of that nature. And that the main problem is in the spiritual teachings that I am familiar with, and I have a pretty broad grasp of them, the main problem is that what it seeks to do is to stop the madness of the psychology by withdrawing from the mind, and we're drawing from life itself into states of clarity and openness and silence. To me, that is going in the exact wrong direction. And I think that the reason that this has come about is because the spiritual teachings and spiritual aspirations themselves arose like 5,000 years ago among people who were genuinely, sincerely, and authentically determined to find an answer to what seems to be the universal problem that's attached to being a human being. And in doing so, some of them stumbled upon this simple solution, but didn't know what was happening. And as they have communicated it to us over the centuries, they have had no vocabulary with which to speak of it other than the vocabulary of spiritual understanding and spiritual aspiration, all of which is metaphysical and all of which seems to me to be encouraging us to withdraw from life into silence and clarity and so forth and so on. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting that there's something wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that stuff at all. The main thing that I wanted to make clear, and I tried to stress this in the talk I did, the main thing I wanted to make clear is not that the spiritual teachings and the spiritual aspirations are necessarily wrong or should be done away with, just that this is not that. And the reason that it is important to see that what we're doing here is not a spiritual teaching and does not serve spiritual aspiration is pretty obvious, because if one sees it to be that, well, you're going to be really confused and disappointed, because we don't offer that. We offer a chance to actually be free of the only thing that has caused us to hate our lives, and to once free of that, to see that our minds, the structure of our psychology, can regenerate itself into something that is practically useful and serves the actual experience of being alive as a human being. Is that helpful?
Yes. Well, first of all, your sense of what spirituality is I think I understand it much better. It's as you say, it's something outside yourself or outside of your normal experience, or a desire to enter into
escape.
Some
yeah.
state or thing. There's I think in I don't you know I'm no fan of the word spirituality at all. In fact, I dislike it. Because it's so confusing, but the a lot of folks are doing these days with things. How can I say it? I didn't even want to use that word, but in exploring what this is, they seem to be going into a lot of very direct explorations. Some of which is looking at yourself, and some of which is looking. You might say, or noticing. And so that was my sort of larger or more a wider sense of what spirituality meant. So I felt somewhat confused by, because it seems that looking at yourself and what I experience of it is in some ways quite similar to some other things that are approaches that are also direct experience, direct looking.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing. Of course, mm-hmm. some of them are. And there are those who think that the looking is a kind of a development within the overall rubric of self-inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the similarities, and I understand why it is that when we look at the range of spiritual activity in the world today, why it would be possible to think that the things that are going on there are somehow the same thing as that are going on here. But the fact is that they're not. And I'm not saying that from ignorance. I'm saying that, I mean, not from total ignorance anyway. I'm saying that from experience myself, every time somebody tells me about somebody who, oh, that's just like what what's-his-name says or what's-her-name says, I go and investigate and look at that, at whoever it is they've told me, and I have concluded in all cases that what they are doing is different, and what they are seeking is different from what we're doing here. Now, again, I'm really not interested in being involved in a conversation about the nature of spiritual aspiration and the way in which it's developing and unfolding in the world today, because it's just of no interest to me. What's of interest to me is what we're doing, which is not metaphysical at all. It has no metaphysical component to it at all. What we are looking at when we look here is at the actual experience of person, not of self, not of true self, not of consciousness, not of awareness, not of the unknown, not of any of those things. What we're talking about here is something much more simple, much more grounded in the actual experience of being alive as a human being, and much less, it's just not what we're doing, Stephen. And again, I really don't want to get into it in depth, but if you want to, we could talk about it in email or something together. But it's a false trail. And there is nothing whatsoever. And I tell you, we've been here for 14 years now. And I started out as a satsang teacher. And there is nothing whatsoever within that rubric that's of any interest to me and is of any usefulness whatsoever to this work. It's not that that's all wrong. It's just not what we're doing here. And when we respond to the apparent similarity and coherence between the looking and the work that's being done in the spiritual realm, I don't remember what I was going to say. It's like apples and onions. They're just not the same thing. And it's okay. I don't have any problem with it. It's just not what we're doing here. We're not opposed to any of that. We're not opposed to anything. But what we found here is that, because when... See, I believe that every guru, actual authentic guru, every authentic spiritual teacher, every authentic, everybody who is authentically reaching out to people to bring them the insight that has set them free, I believe they're all authentic. And I believe they all have almost certainly done exactly what it is we're doing here and are simply prevented from understanding it and seeing it clearly for what it is by the vernacular in which they stumbled upon it. So that the vernacular itself is such that it contaminates any possibility of using that vernacular to directly cause the simple act that's all that's required, which is to look at you, the person, not even necessarily to have the experience of you, the person, but to look anyway, to try anyway, to look at what feels like me, not what feels like self, not what feels like consciousness, not what feels like anything at all except me. The target is very specific, very, very specific, and very actual. It is present all the time, and it is you. It is not anything outside of yourself. And when we go looking for true self, or we go looking for awareness or for consciousness or whatever it is that we're looking for, we are not looking for me. In fact, me is, in the realm of spiritual aspiration, the problem. And to us, it's the solution. I don't know if that's helpful, but is it at all? Getting any closer?
Oh, yes, actually. Well, quite a lot. For me, I'm, in a sense, trying to carve away anything that isn't looking, so that I understand what this is, you know. Looking.
Right, I understand that.
And I take your meaning. I've got a hunch that's quite close, that people, in a sense, discover this through some process, and then they're maybe still caught up in whatever the history and storyline or
it's just the vernacular,
process.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't have the concepts available to communicate.
But I'm also interested in really understanding, and I see that we're going to talk a lot more about, on Wednesday, the act of looking at self, but I'm really interested in the process, if you will.
Right.
If it is a process, I don't know. But
the looking isn't a process, the recovery is.
Okay.
the rest of your life is a process.
because I want to understand it, I guess. I want to grok it on a level that, for one thing, allows me to explain it to other people a little bit. It's gets kind of hard sometimes when I try to do that.
I'm just
trying to pull away some of the bushes and weeds here to see what we're actually dealing with.
Yes, and that's good. And I think that what you'll see in the end is that it's all bushes and weeds, and that the only thing that actually it's all bushes and weeds when it comes to the it's not all bushes and weeds like. In a kind of a comprehensive ultimate sense, but it's all bushes and weeds when it comes to the problem of getting rid of the whatever that which is causing humanity to go crazy, and as individuals and as the entire community of human beings, it's all bushes and weeds there, but the only thing that counts is the looking. And I promise you, but I too am fond of understanding, and I have a pretty, as I said, a pretty wide range of contact with a variety of spiritual teachings and spiritual aspirations. And we will be talking exactly about the things that concern you throughout the rest of the week. When we talk about the fear of life, when we talk about the looking, and when we talk about the recovery and beyond, I think that by the time we're at the end of the week, you will be satisfied at least to understand what is the kernel of what we're about here, and which does not require invalidating anything else. It doesn't require giving up anything or taking on anything. It just requires the act itself. Okay, so I think this is a good conversation, and I think it'll bear fruit over the week, okay?
Great, John. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Steve, and thank you for being here and for that conversation.
Sure.
Okay, anybody else? Again, some people arrived early. I'm going to just briefly tell you guys that the subject for this today, we're just talking about what the structure and subject of the intensive is going to be and the purpose of it. The rest of the week, there will be on Tuesday, we will be considering in depth and detail the fear of life and its effects, its appearance, and and how it actually explains everything. The insight into the presence of the fear of life as the context for the development of our minds. The understanding of that is, you'll see. Now, and so on Tuesday we're going to talk about the fear of life and all its wonder. On Wednesday we're going to talk about the act of looking and everything we can talk about the act of looking. On Thursday we're going to talk about the recovery and beyond, and the recovery, of course, is the period of distress and confusion that sometimes comes after the first instance of, after the eradication of the fear. And beyond is the bringing of this to the human community at large. And on Friday, we'll just sum up what we've done for the week. So we're here today. We're talking mostly about anything you want to talk about. We're going to try, the meetings are open for an hour and a half, but we don't have to wait, we don't have to stay for an hour and a half. Probably this morning we'll quit it, you know, in another 20 minutes or so. We'll quit these meetings when there's no more conversation taking place, and or at an hour and a half, whichever comes first. So you guys who arrived a little late, the other thing is, what we really want to have happen here is for people to come to every meeting, because it's the week is a unit of its own, and to come on time, because we're not we're going to start on time, and if you're not here on time, you're just going to miss whatever you miss, and to try to stick to the point of the topic for that day. On Tuesday, the fear of life. Wednesday, the looking. Thursday, the recovery. And today is kind of open for anything you want to talk about, whether it be the structure or anything you want to talk about. Okay? Barbara? Hi, Barbara.
Hey, John. How are you today?
Great. You?
Good. Good. Real good. Well, I started this about 9 months ago, and I started writing into the form a little bit. and then I just sort of stopped. The form just seemed so overwhelming. There was just so much there. And I wanted to see how I would feel by looking at myself without reading everybody else's reactions. So, every once in a while, I take my attention and I put it on my knee and I put it on my elbow, move it up to my forehead, and then I move it to the feeling of me. And it was real easy to do. And then, a few months ago, I was reading a book, and all of a sudden, I got the feeling that the feeling of me was looking out through Barbara's eyes reading this book. I mean, I've never had that feeling before, and I've never had it since. And then another thing that's happened is I used to say to myself, well, how old do you feel inside? Or I'd say to a friend or my mother or somebody, and they'd say 32, 55, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden I can say to myself, how old do I feel inside? And I can't come up with an age. I feel ageless. And I don't know if that's from looking at the feeling of me, but I just wanted to share all that since I don't know what everybody else is feeling since I haven't read the forum.
Well, that's an interesting thing, Barbara. And and what happens when somebody does the looking and then kind of goes off by themselves, and that happens quite often. In fact, to tell you the truth, it's not uncommon for people to do the looking, lose the fear, and then kind of head for the hills and settle in to enjoy the experience of their life. The other thing that can happen when the looking occurs, isolated from the community itself, is that there can arise a, you know, a deep interest in the experience of it, in the wonder of it, in the particular ways to describe the new relationship with life, what the new relationship with life consists in, like, for example, the idea, the feeling that it is the feeling of me looking through these eyes, and that expression itself is an attempt to convey an experience that actually is too subtle and too small to be conveyed by that kind of developed expression and understanding of what's happening. What happens when people stay with the community is that, and this is also really obvious, that what happens when people stay with the community following the act of looking is that gradually they become much more interested in the actual experience of life itself, and in the relationship, and with the way in which life unfolds, and the way in which I have a very limited capacity to have an effect on the way circumstance unfolds, and on the way in which I can gain skillfulness and clarity in using the ability I have to focus attention at will on what I want it to be focused on. And people in the forum, and especially now, and this is really interesting because it is really kind of exactly on point with what you're talking about, people who have, like you, done the looking and then wandered away and you know, just enjoyed having whatever it was that they were doing with it, are now returning to the forums and reporting to us how useful and how wonderful it is to engage in conversation with one another that is not driven by fear, and which is actually a conversation that goes to the development of our skill and capacity to be useful to ourselves in these lives. So another thing that comes to us, you know, and I was talking to Stephen about the spiritual aspiration and so forth. The other thing that comes to us in the world of spiritual aspiration is that we are, and this is a very strange thing and very difficult for me to communicate. In the realm of spiritual aspiration, we are looked upon as solitary. And what I mean by that is that we look upon ourselves as being solitary entities that have no, that must find liberation for themselves, within themselves, and the liberation that's being sought, of course, is the liberation from the difficulty of life itself. But there's a solitariness in the realm of spiritual aspiration that causes us, when we're in it, to want to withdraw and perfect the whatever it is that's happened to us that will, to perfect that. Whereas with the looking, the idea that we are solitary and responsible solely here, there's no one here but me, and we are responsible solely to rid myself of all the weight of life and the weight of what's happening, actually happening, and the weight of what other people are doing and so forth and so on. That's not what we're about here. We're about the exact opposite. we see the human community as being actually kind of one creature itself, of which we are a part, and we see that there is no liberation for anyone solitary in a solitary fashion if there is not liberation for everyone. And that the nature of liberation has nothing whatsoever to do with withdrawing from the hustle and bustle of the marketplace of life. It has to do with gaining, with losing the fear that has kept us away from that hustle and bustle, and gaining the skill and insight and understanding necessary to actually be directly engaged with the complexity of life and engaged effectively so that what we do actually increases our satisfaction with life, not with withdrawal. Is that helpful at all? Do you follow that?
Yes, thank you very much.
So stay, you know, and stay with these meetings and think about going to the forums again. That's where the actual work of understanding what's happening here is taking place in those conversations. And you'll be surprised.
I didn't know where to start. It was just so overwhelming. There was so much information.
Yeah. I know. You can start anywhere.
And okay.
Anywhere leads you everywhere. I would start with the more recent postings, you know, but look into them. Because people themselves are, and I think you will realize too, when you start, you don't even have to post, just engage with it. You will realize too that there's something about conversation on the level that we are conversing there that is extremely nourishing and helpful in
yes.
The individual mind. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes, and stay here for the week, okay?
I will.
All right. Charles?
I just had a quick question. So I downloaded your iPad app, and I tried it a few times, but I'm not sure if I'm exactly looking. So you mentioned to go back and look at your childhood life, and what I'm getting is that it should be the same feeling, but I'm not exactly sure if it's the same feeling as the present day looking. So I'm a little confused. And maybe I'm getting right. I'm just not exactly sure. And should I be worried about that at all? That's pretty much it.
Okay. The truth is that probably my experience is, and this is so... this is not what is normally the case, and it's not expected. But my experience is that if you try, you succeed. That the trying itself is the success itself. Even if you are confused about what happened, or even if you have the sense that nothing happened, the fact is that if you try to look at yourself, you will succeed. The thing that makes it, one of the things that makes it so confusing is that you're not very interesting. What I'm asking you to look at is not very interesting, which goes to the question as to why it is we haven't looked at it before. Because the feeling of you is faint. It's faint. It's clear. It is, there's not much to it. And it's not uncommon for people to try to look, decide that they have not done so, and nevertheless discover over the ensuing time that they have done so. So my feeling is, without regard to the particulars of your confusion, my feeling is that if you tried what was set out in the app, that you certainly would have succeeded, no matter what the psychology tells you. I sometimes use psychology and mind interchangeably, because mind is kind of an idea that is misunderstood greatly around the world. But psychology is not so much. But the mind or the psychology comes up with understandings that explain why it is that you didn't succeed. Now, pertaining more specifically to the thing about looking at the experience of you when you were a child, the reason that I often suggest that to people, there's two reasons. One is because that in retrospect, I came to see that that was what I did that caused me to get the direct contact with me, caused me to get direct contact with me. And this was, 15, 16 years ago. And I was in prison at the time. And I was desperately trying to rid myself of the hope that I held that there actually was the possibility of liberation. And in trying to do that, this might be interesting too, I was trying to do what I heard, what I thought that Ramana Maharshi was telling us to do, because I knew it wouldn't work. And I knew that once it didn't work, that I would free myself of hope. And that's the reason that I did it in the first place. I was in great torment. I had a great enlightenment collapse and so forth and so on. Just the same story as many people have. But in doing that, what came to me was a memory of an experience when I was about, I guess, 6 years old, when I had been in a movie theater in a matinee in the daytime, and I came out of the movie theater into the bright sunshine and heat, and I saw that experience, and in that moment I saw what it actually felt like to be me at that time in a way that was more concrete than I have since. And in the instant of seeing that, it was apparent to me that it was exactly the same now as it was then. Now, that doesn't mean that what I did was figure out that they were the two same things. It means that it just was obvious to me. Doesn't mean it's going to be the same for everybody. But that's, and the other reason, and that, so I started suggesting that to people, look at an experience when you were a child, because of the fact that it was what freed me, and also because other people have reported back that particular approach has worked for them. And the thing to keep in mind, or not to keep in mind, it doesn't really matter whether you keep it in mind or not, but thing to consider is that when these kind of reactions appear, it is the psychology that's reacting, because the psychology itself has been formed in service to the fear. Everything about your psychology, everything about the way you understand things, look at things, relate to things, deal with things, is contaminated by the context in which it's appeared, and that context being that life itself is to be feared and kept at arm's length as much as possible. So that's what all that psychology is about, is saving you from the direct experience of your life. So it's the psychology that doesn't want to know. It's not you. And the knowing occurs at a level far beneath the chatter of the psychology about what's happening. But we'll talk about that more on Wednesday when we talk more directly and comprehensively about the looking and what happens with it and so forth. But is that helpful to you at all, what I said?
No, that was definitely helpful. Thank you, John.
Yeah, basically you don't have to worry about it. If you've done it, you'll see. And by the time this week is over, I think you'll have a better understanding of what's happening, okay?
Yeah. I just feel like maybe I'm, just after you just talked right now, maybe I'm just psyching myself out. I don't know. So I'll just leave it alone and just follow instructions as you would.
Okay. And, you know, we'll talk about it too. You know, during the week we can talk about it whenever you want to. You'll be here, so I'll call on you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else this morning, or shall we call it a day and wait for tomorrow? Let's give it a couple of minutes and see if any of you want to speak today. Boy, I'm really, I have to tell you, these week-long intensives online here, when they are looming on the horizon, it's like, oh my God, how am I going to handle that? What in the world am I going to say? And how will this all turn out right? But when it starts, there's no place on earth I'd rather be, and nothing on earth I would rather be doing than spending this week with you, considering together the nature and the implications of this simple act of looking. So if you want to talk some more today, raise your hand now. And if not, we will we'll give it a couple of minutes and then we'll wrap this up. Stephen.
What you just said was interesting, and I want to explore it just a moment. You said that you were considering all these things in the approach to the seminar. Did you experience any anxiety in that? Or are you describing something different?
No, it's not anxiety. It's just it's a more... a recognition of the fact that I'm really not that well suited for this job. But it's not anxiety, it's more what in the world do I think I'm doing here?
Why do you say that though? Why do you say you're not suited for it? I mean, here you are. Sounds like you're suited to me.
Yeah, well, so far so good. I am not, disturbed by feeling not suited for this job, but I nevertheless feel that I am not suited for this job. It's taken me, 15, 16 years to get to the point where we actually know what we're talking about.
And, maybe so, but like I say, here we all are, and we're talking about something very directly, very specifically, and, you know, I'm not trying to praise or criticize you, either one. I'm just saying this is what this has produced, and it seems...
Yes, right, and that's the way I feel about it too. And I know, don't read too much into things that I say that are kind of off the cuff like that.
My own mutterings sound the same.
It's good to have you here.
Likewise. Okay. Right.
Okay, my friends, so I do the best I can with what I have to work with. I have a very, well, never mind. I do the best I can. And actually, I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, we have come to a point that no other approach so far as I know, no other approach that anybody said anything about has been able to achieve. And we have a growing community of people who attest to that. It's just that I wish I were a little more eloquent and less wandering in my my wanderings. Okay, thank you all. Okay, tomorrow we take up the matter of the fear of life, its origin, its effect on human life in general, and its eradication. And we will consider it in as much detail as we can muster. And I would suggest that if you feel like it, you might refresh yourself with reading maybe the e-book on the fear of life or some of the stuff in the forums on fear of life. Refresh yourself. And I'll see you tomorrow.
You just listened to meeting number one of a 5-day online intensive with John Sherman, broadcast live from Ojai, California on June 24th, 2013. For more live recordings, visit our podcast at www.justoneloop.org.